सद्भावास राजसः
विषयान् अभिसंधाय
यश
ऐश्वर्यमेव
वा
अर्चयेद्योमा
पृथग्भावास राजसः विषयान् अभिसंधाय
Word to word translation responsibly. Vishayan, sense objects. Abhisandhaya, aiming at. Yashaha, fame. Aishwaryam, opulence. Eva, indeed. Va, or. Archa Adav, in worship of the deity and so on. Archayet, may worship. Yaha, he who. Mam, me. Prithak Bhavaha, a separatist. Saha, he. Rajasaha, in the mode of passion. Translation: the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. Translation responsibly, please. The worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist
with a motive for material enjoyment,
fame and opulence,
is devotion in the mode of
passion. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit word in this connection are bhinnadhruk and prithak bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees or devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance think that interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotees. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of a devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. This is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Mayavadis, however, interpret the word separatist in a different way. They say that while worshipping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. This is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interest. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जन शलाकया चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछकल्प कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। भूतैर्महाद्भिर्य इमा पुरो विभो निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशिष्ठ भगवान् वचांसि मे। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर् डीलिङ्ग् वित् ए वेरि इण्ट्रेस्टिङ्ग् सेक्षन् आफ् श्रीमद्भागवतम्। सो वी हेव् स्टार्टेड् प्राक्टिसिङ्ग् डिवोशन् सर्विस्, सम् मे बि ए फ्यू वीक्स्, सम् मे बि फ्यू मन्त्स्, सम् मे बि फ्यू इयर्स्, some may be few decades. Still, we need to be very careful in the discharge of devotional service. So this section is giving a warning to us. What has to be our mentality? What has to be our intention and motivation while performing devotional service? Devotional service is not automatic. It is manifestation of the desires of the heart, the intentions of the heart. It is completely voluntary and it has to come spontaneously and naturally, at least eventually. So, in the section, the most repeated word is separatist. So, in a few minutes we will see what is a separatist. And before getting into it, let me clarify one important point. This point is that often we refer devotional service in three material modes. So devotional service means how we are serving Krishna, how we are serving God. So that is called devotional service. Now, what are these three material modes? The mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So these three material modes are implicitly affecting us. Even though we are pure, we are spirit soul, we cannot be really uncontaminated by material nature. Still, when we identify with the mind and with the body, then we are in the clutches of the three material modes, the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, here the point is that even though often we say the devotional service in the three material modes, it is not that devotional service or bhakti is affected by the three material modes. Because bhakti is beyond the material modes. Or the devotional service is beyond the material modes. And nothing can touch the devotional service. Nothing can touch bhakti. It's not possible. Bhakti yoga is beyond any material conception. So what is influenced by these three material modes? That is the practitioner. So it has to be very much clarified, because otherwise we may conclude that bhakti is in different modes as such. No, for example, if you say, if you are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we were just chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, how can one chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the mode of ignorance? Can anyone know? While in between dosing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. like go, dozing sometime, then getting up. Maybe starting at the right mantra, at the right word, but still it is performing devotion service in the mode of ignorance, or chanting in the mode of ignorance, because one is not attentive, one is lethargic, maybe lazy, tired, sleepy. So that is an example of, so the chanting, the process of chanting or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the mantra, is it affected by the mode of ignorance? No. It is that the practitioner is affected by the mode of ignorance. So we need to make that classification. Say for example, how is the chanting in the mode of passion?
Doing some other work.
Can be. That is more actually, it's not really passion. If you are doing something else and you know, meanwhile chanting and reading the signboard, you know, chanting and chatting, it's not really passion. That is also ignorance. Because one is losing the purpose. One is ignorant of the purpose of chanting. So that is that multitasking. That is a sign of ignorance. But passion is more subtle. That has to do with the motivation. It's not the passion that we tell in the normal world. You know, I am passionate about something or someone. That's different. But influenced by the mode of passion means there is an ulterior motivation. There is an ulterior motive and desires while performing devotion service, while chanting or doing any other activity. That ulterior motive is material. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with bhakti at all. So that is in passion. And externally it can be, you know, can be a bit of show off. Chanting can be a bit of a show off. But in goodness means one is actually focused. One is doing for the right purpose at least. Now, still, when it comes to chanting especially, we will discuss that in the next class. That is for a purpose of removing the material distress. If one has a tendency to do bhakti, devotion service, to remove the distress, to remove all the bad karma. So that is definitely in goodness, but it is material mode. So it is in the material mode of goodness. It is not the highest. So highest chanting, it is in the chanting with love for Krishna. There is nothing. I am not worried about my bad karma, bad activities. I am not worried about what I want to achieve materially. Nor am I completely lethargic or sleepy while chanting. So this is just a general overview. What is it meant by same activity performed in different material modes? Now here, we, as I explained earlier, the practitioner is influenced by the modes, but not the devotional activity in itself. Because the mantra cannot be touched by any material modes. No one can contaminate mantra. This was a speculation going on at the time of Lord Chaitanya. Tomorrow is the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, birthday. So, just the caste brahmanas, the caste priests, they used to propagate. No one can chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No one can chant the names of Krishna, Govinda, Hari. No one can chant. One has to be qualified first to chant. To perform meditation, one has to be qualified. Then one can perform only at a particular time after taking bath. So they were stipulating many rules and regulations just to perform this chanting. And Mahaprabhu established the real principle. Nasmaranena kala. There is no hard and fast rule in this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it is very important that we discuss this point. Now, the point is, the spirit soul or the living entity who we are, we can be contaminated by the three material modes. That is the material existence. And this infliction of this material modes is internal. It is very subtle. The consciousness, the mind is influenced by the material modes. And when we are influenced by these material modes, whatever activities that we perform, whatever we speak, that is also influenced by the material modes. Right? That's why anything, if somebody is in the mode of ignorance, if someone speaks something, generally it is disturbing to others. Because one is already agitated, and one speaks, it disturbs others also. As simple as, okay, you can say, please go and sit there. You can speak the same thing in different ways, right? You can speak in such a way that the person will get definitely disturbed. This is speaking an activity, but in the mode of ignorance. You can even look at someone in the mode of ignorance. The other person will get disturbed. Right? So we are imparting our own agitation to others. So in the same way, passion, it is more subtle. There is always that pride. the result, the orientation for fruitive result, that is in the mind, that's in the consciousness, that is in the mode of passion. And in goodness, it is generally for helping. That is the general mentality. So this is general classification. Now, when you speak about these different modes, any activity can be influenced by the modes. And that's why Bhagavad Gita, in the 17th chapter, charity can be in different modes. Right? Especially now, we are talking about the mode of passion. So if one is performing charity in the mode of passion, what is this mentality? What is in it for me? I'll do some charity, but there has to be a big signboard donated by such and such person. Yes. You know, some people say, you know, we will give you a donation, but there has to be a, their nameplate has to be there. So that is charity. It is charity. It's a good activity, but the intention is the mode of passion, because my name and fame has to be propagated. So this is a general tendency, charity. So similarly, if somebody is performing sacrifice in the mode of passion, you know, I am doing so much of austerity. I am only eating once a day. Or I am not even eating anything, just fasting. But the thing is, I want to make sure that everyone else knows. That is passion. If I am doing a sacrifice, say for example, fasting. I am doing nirjal fasting. I am doing fasting, only drinking water on an Ekadashi. Okay, we are fasting. I am not going to eat anything, only drinking water. But I want to make sure that everyone in the temple know very well that I am fasting. Correct. So we'll ask, Prabhu, did you eat anything? Go and ask everyone. Say, yeah, I had prasadam. I had nice food. Everything was good. So then the next question we want to hear is, Prabhu, are you eating anything? Correct. If you hear, then I have to say, no. I am not eating. I am doing nirjal fasting. I am fasting. I am only drinking water. Or I am not even drinking water. So we want to make sure that others are knowing our glories, our activities. That is sacrifice, or when it is performed for sacrifice, that is sacrifice in the mode of passion. Similarly, and also that can be for material benefit. So here we can see the devotional service is also highest sacrifice, because the spiritual sacrifice, if one is performing for fruitive results, what is in it for me, just like a business, then that is considered in the mode of passion, meaning the practitioner is influenced by the mode of passion. Similarly, austerity, one can perform penances in the mode of passion. Bhagavad Gita says, for gaining respect, honor, and for worship, to get those things, one can perform even the austerity in the mode of passion. So one has to be very careful when one does any activity, and especially devotion service. So devotion service is not all guaranteed. However, whatever we do, it's all taken care of. Especially if you are thinking about progressive path in devotion service. Devotion service in any way, it is good. Because spiritual activity, it is good for us. But we need to be very careful about the mentality, so that we can make fast progress in the path. Otherwise, what's the point? We can just do the same activity, but we may not make much progress. So that's where the voluntary involvement of the heart is very important in bhakti, in the devotional service. Now, that's why this section is very important, because it is called the mixed devotional service or Mishra Bhakti. Why Mishra Bhakti? Means the practitioner's intention is mixed. The desires are mixed. So the bhakti can be classified into three. One can perform in the mode of ignorance, one can perform in the mode of passion, and one can perform in the mode of goodness. So in the previous verse, we covered performing bhakti devotional service in the mode of ignorance, and in this verse, in the mode of passion, and in the next, mode of goodness. And the verse after is the real bhakti, the devotional service which is pure, which is beyond any material modes. Now, interestingly enough, here, who is speaking? Kapiladev is speaking. Kapiladev says, even it can be classified further. That is, one can perform bhakti in Rajogun, in the mode of passion, it can be even classified further into three. So if it is performed here, according to the levels, according to the degree. So for example, one explanation is, in this verse we can see, one can do the devotional service in the mode of passion for enjoyment or fame or opulence, right? One is called in Sanskrit Vishaya, Yasha and Aishwarya. So this is three classifications further of performing devotional service in the mode of passion. So in the same way, one could classify devotional service in ignorance also into three and goodness also into three. So what happens? How many times? 9 times we can perform devotional service. 9 varieties. Not finished. Now how many types of, we can classify the devotional service into 9 angas or 9 limbs. Starting from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So these are the 9, how we can classify the whole bhakti process into 9. Starting from hearing, chanting and remembering. Then of course worshipping the deity, serving the Lord as sweet, you know, etc. You know, into the servitorship, surrendering everything. So we have the classification of devotional service. That is Navanga Bhakti. That is 9 types of devotional service. Now we have this 9 material modes, because each classified into 3. That is, each are called, one is the Adhama, Madhyama and Uttama. So Rajas also can be, the mode of passion can be the lowest, which is Adhama, Madhyama the intermediate and Uttama the best, even in passion. So one can classify into 3. So it has become 9. And then we have 9 Angas of Bhakti. So 81 types of Mishra Bhakti. 81 types one can perform devotional service, which is not right, which is not perfect, which is Mishra, which is mixed in motivation. So that's why it is very important to know. And another way of looking at the same thing is, if somebody is approaching Supreme Lord, if somebody is approaching spirituality with fear, if I don't worship, something wrong is going to happen. God is going to do something very wrong to me. So if one is approaching Krishna in this manner, that is in the mode of ignorance. Second, in the mode of passion, it's a business deal, as is explained here. Business deal. I am worshipped because I can get such and such thing. And if I am throwing $1 in the hundi, I am thinking I will get $100. Like a jackpot or $1 million jackpot. You know, so that is in the mode of passion. Business deal. And finally, if it is in the duty, if one is performing devotional service as a matter of duty, that is in the goodness. Still, it's not highest, because the highest is out of love. It's not just duty, but it's love. There is difference between duty and love. Now, this purport is centered upon one word, which is separatist. So Prabhupada writes, the word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit word in this connection are bhinnadrik. You know, bhinnadrik means, bhinna means separate. Sanskrit bhinna means separate. Drik means seeing, observing or experiencing or desiring. You know, drik. So one is seeing separately. So seeing oneself separate from the Lord, in the sense the desire is separate. Or prithak bhava. Prithak also means separate, basically. Prithak bhava, the separatist mentality. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. See how subtle it is. How fine it is. There is a fine line between our desires and the Supreme Lord's. If there is a separation, then we have to understand we are separatist. So, why is it Krishna demanding too much? You know, if you read the last line of this purport, when one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the 3 modes of material nature. See, what is expected from us, ultimately. Probably not now, but ultimately. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with 3 modes of material nature. Even a tinge. So, is that Krishna demanding too much from us? Is he a control freak? He wants to control everything. No separate interest from us. Whatever desire, and that's it. But the reality is that Krishna's interest encompasses our interests. Krishna's interest includes our interests. Why? Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. So it is not just like a person who, you know, who wants to control. He has interest because all his interest is centered around himself. It is not necessarily for the welfare of others. Whereas Krishna's self-interest is the self-interest of all the living entities. So So, in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the word used by Prahlad Maharaj is Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. The living entities covered by ignorance don't know swartha gati Vishnu. Swartha gati means self-interest. So the real selfishness. Swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Krishna is the real self-interest of all the living entities. Out of ignorance, one thinks we have separate interests and we do pursue different activities based on those interests. So that is the separatist mentality. So here, when Krishna is telling that my interest, we had to follow his interest, it means that is the best welfare for all of us. So if we follow Krishna's interest, we get the ultimate good. That we can realize. So devotional service is the process where experientially one can realize that if we follow Krishna's interest, we become satisfied and happy. One can actually feel, one can actually experience. So the process of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, process of worshipping the deities, process of associating with the devotees, they are actually giving us the realization that if we follow Krishna's instructions, that is going to give us so much of happiness. It is going to give us satisfaction. And we feel like going more. And then we can see what are the interests which are actually blocking us to go towards Krishna's interest. So it becomes more visible for us. So for that we have guidance. For that we have spiritual master. We have devotees. They are helping us to move towards Krishna's interest. In other words, they are helping us to align our interest to that of Krishna's. That's how we can move towards pure devotional service. So that's why we don't have separate existence. That's the reality. If you see a spark of a fire, does it have any separate existence? No. As soon as it actually comes out, as soon as it falls somewhere, it is completely extinguished. It doesn't have any separate existence. But with the fire, it has all existence. It has all meaning. Similarly, we have complete meaning when we are in connection to Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a small part of a machine, just like a nut or a ball. It is very minute. It has, if you throw it in the street, it has no significance. You cannot productively use it. But if it is part of the machine, it has all the meaning, it has all the use, because it is functioning in cooperation with the entire machine. If you take a corporate example, if you go to any industry, any corporations, they have their own interests. And they want their employees to fulfill those interests. They don't want any separate interests. So you are awarded, you are rewarded according to how you are able to fulfill the desire of the company, the corporation. That's how it is. There is personal interest. We have our personal interests. National interests, right? Family interests. So we have interests in different ways. In the same way, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he has interest. But the interesting aspect of his interest, his desire, is that it is meant for the welfare of all, because we are part and parcel of him. So he doesn't have any separate interest. Only we do want to take ourselves separate from that supreme interest, which is the best welfare for ourselves. So that is where this word separatist is an important point. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Narada Muni says, Yatha Taror Mula Nishayachanena, that verse where, and it is said, if we want to nourish a tree, the trunk, the branches, the sub-branches, the leaves, the best process is to water the root, because the nourishment goes to the entire tree. But if you try to water just the leaves or the trunk, that's not going to give nourishment for the entire tree. Just like as there's a place to put food in our mouth, right? We had to put in the mouth. Anywhere else we put the food, it's not going to give us nourishment. We can take a gulab jamun, we can squeeze it as much as possible. We can take a cake, we can squeeze it as much as possible, but it's not going to give us any happiness or satisfaction because the food has to go to the mouth. In the same way, when we are talking about worship, it has to be dovetailed to Krishna. That is the authorized process. And with that, everyone becomes actually happy and satisfied. So this is a practical experience. We can actually experiment and we can see. That is what we are doing chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Actually, we are connecting to Krishna. We are glorifying Krishna. We are connecting to the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna. Now, by doing that, one realizes that we are actually becoming happy. One becomes surprised. After some time, one comes to a conclusion. Okay, the real way of becoming happy is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is the most intimate process. So one comes to this conclusion experientially with practice. Now here this 81 ways of Mishra Bhakti, that is saying that 81 ways to be a separatist. It's not one way, 81 ways to be separatist. But the reality is that we have unlimited ways to be a separatist. As far as we have separate desires from that of Krishna, then we are going to be a separatist. And that is our position in the material world. That's why we are in the material world. And as soon as we revive our spiritual consciousness, then we can see that the material energy is not acting upon us as much as it used to be. That's a practical realization. Material energy is acting upon us, and we are feeling miserable in so many different ways. But as soon as the devotional service starts functioning, then we see that misery is reducing naturally. We don't have to do anything separately. It is just a byproduct of the process of bhakti. So now the question is, how far are we a separatist? This is the question we can ask. Probably it is easier if somebody is very new, then one may not be bothered about these kind of things. But if we are practicing Krishna consciousness year after year, then one has to pause and ask, how far am I a separatist? My desire, is it really aligned with that of Krishna's, or do I have separate interests? So here the three words are, one is vishaya, that is material enjoyment, that is one separate interest. If I want to enjoy myself separate from Krishna, then that is definitely we are deviating from the path. It can be tongue, it can be food. Say for example, we are meant to eat prasadam, offered food. We may eat vegetarian, but still, do we still have the desire to eat other things? Maybe vegetarian, but still it is a separated mentality. Are we really offering the food to Krishna? If the process is very easy, but are we doing it? Or do we need to have shortcuts even in the process of offering and just accepting anything which is not offered to Krishna? That is tongue, controlling the tongue. Right? And how about the desire to enjoy the opposite sex? Still, are we actually hankering on those kind of things? Are we thinking about that still? Are we checking on that point? We had to think. Because that is vishaya. It is actually alluring us in so many different ways. Then second is, what is that? Yesha, position. Position and fame, it's a problem. They go together. It's a problem. One can think, one may be practicing, the senses are controlled, things are fine, mind is a bit peaceful, but one can think, okay, now I want to be famous. Right? Even while performing devotional service, one can think, you know, is everyone watching? I'm playing mridanga, for example, or singing. Thinking, you know, is everyone listening to my good song, good sound? You know, people looking here and there, you know, this is the mode of passion, right? So one has to be very careful how our mind is functioning. So one, as a temple, one can think, you know, oh, I want to get such and such position. It's like, you know, previously, I was hearing the pastime, two devotees, they were, you know, only two devotees were there. Then they were fighting, two or three devotees, they were fighting, who is going to be the president and who is going to be the treasurer? A temple in the beginning times, opening only two or three devotees are there, still they were fighting, you know, who is going to be the president, who is going to be the treasurer? Only three devotees started a center. So this is how the material energy works. You know, who is senior? I am senior because I got initiated, you know, 1 month before or 1 year before. This is possible, you know, because it's the mode of passion, it affects us. So one has to be careful while performing devotional service. What is the intention? What is the desire behind it? Then finally, or now, if we talk about fame, one has to be famous, if one has to profile. Say for example, Facebook helps us to profile ourselves and to market ourselves. So sometimes the intention can be, I am profiling and I am marketing myself so to show the world that how nicely I am doing devotional service. One devotee wanted to, he was chanting 64 rounds. And he wanted to upload a YouTube video to show that I am chanting 64 rounds every day. Means takes about 8 hours chanting, which is a serious thing. Usually we don't. So he wanted to show the whole world, you know, I am chanting 64 rounds. So, you know, such and such person chanting 64 rounds. So YouTube video on that. So this is marketing. This is in the mode of passion. We are not meant to perform devotional service in this kind of modes. So the question is, do we have actually enough strength to resist such allurements for fame, for position? Do we have that strength? And what is that strength? Then Bhagavad Gita says, okay, if we have a higher taste, correct? Vishayan vinivartante niraharasindehinaha rasavrajam rasopiche param drishtva nivartate. So param drishtva, the solution we know. What is that? Higher taste. These things, the desire for position, fame, all these kind of things are, it is valuable if we don't have a higher taste. If we have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, in our spiritual practice, then one can let go all these kind of things. Now the question is, do we have a higher taste? That is the question. And that's what we had to work on. So I don't want to focus on this verse in a complete negative manner. Rather, let's see how we can get to a higher taste. So today I thought I would speak a little bit on basically hearing, chanting and remembering about Krishna. The process of Shravanam, Kirtanam and Vishnu Smaranam in a progressive manner. So it is very important for us to understand. Progressive hearing, chanting and remembrance. So here, when you come to hearing and chanting, we observe a very important point. It is that, suppose I am good at doing a certain activity. If I am good at cleaning, because it is my skill to clean this floor very good. So since I am cleaning this temple room, it's a devotional service. It's a devotional service and I have the skill, so I can do it nicely. Right? And if one doesn't have the skill, but after training one can clean nicely. So one can do any devotional service nicely, which is required, which is demanded, which we need to try to do as far as possible, or puja or anything, we can do it nicely. Now, when it comes to chanting, there is a difference. Chanting is a direct reflection of our consciousness, or it's a direct reflection of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. That we cannot fake. Say for example, if I am artistic, I can dress the deities very nicely. If I put my heart into it, I can do it very nicely. Similarly, if I know how to do puja, and if I can chant mantras very nicely, then I can do a puja very nicely. Correct? Because I want to do it, I can do it. However, when it comes to chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, our real advancement in Krishna consciousness is directly reflected. When we hear the holy name, how much attraction we have for Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, how much attraction do we have for Krishna's holy name or for Krishna? So that is a direct test. So chanting is a direct test where we have a mirror and showing to our face, okay, this is my face, looks like this. In the same way it is saying, it is showing our devotional face. So that's where chanting is very important, and hearing also, because hearing and chanting go together. And alongside smaranam, meditation is also important, because our process, the one important process of sadhana bhakti or regulated devotional service is that smartavya satatam vishnu vismartavya na jatuchit sarva vidhi nishayadhyoho etayor eva kinkara. So the whole rules and regulations in devotional service in bhakti is based on two principles. What are they? Both are essentially one. What is that? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Is it both same actually? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So it's the same thing. But everything is centered upon this point, that is thinking about Krishna. So Shravanam, Kirtanam and Vishnu Smaranam, all three are very important. So now in Nectar of Instruction, in the 8th verse, Tam nama charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishtan vraje tadaniragi jananugami kalam nayet akhilamityupadeshasaram. This verse is very important, because in that purport is giving the transition between the devotion service with rules and regulations, and which is a bit more on a mechanical side, to something which is spontaneous and natural. So, and that purport gives a progressive stages in devotion service in terms of hearing, chanting, and remembering. So it is, as a practitioner, it is very important for us to understand. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the initial stage of our chanting or our devotional service is called Shravanadas. One has to come to the platform of Shravanadas. Literally means one who is a servant of the process of hearing. Shravanadas. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha means pastimes of Krishna, holy names of Krishna. This is called Shravanadas, the stage of hearing. So this is our beginning of our devotional service. We need to accustom to attentively hearing the holy name, as well as pastimes of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. We need to hear attentively because this is the basis. So here the meditation is on the sound vibration. Some people ask, are you chanting? Are you really meditating? So the point is, in the beginning, the meditation is on the sound vibration. When we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the meditation is on the sound in itself. We are trying to hear. So when the mind is going away from the mantra, which it will, because that's the nature of the mind, we need to bring the mind back to the mantra. So this is the beginning of devotional service. So this is the practice of being a Shravanadas, someone who is trying to hear the holy name of Krishna. Now, this stage is also difficult. To get attentive chanting, to focus the mind, is not very easy. So here, we have some practical tips. Practical tip is that we need to chant in the morning. So that's the first step. Because the morning is, the mind is more so in the mode of goodness. And after that, it becomes more in passion and ignorance. The morning is the best time for hearing, for meditation. So that is the first thing. One, try to chant in the morning. Second, try to chant in the association of the devotees. When we have others chanting together, then it is much easier for us to chant. Third, chant in the temple room or in the temple, in the association of the devotees. There is a huge difference between chanting for me. If I sit in the ashram, which is not one block, a few steps away from this temple room, if I chant there in the morning, and if I just come and sit with the devotees and if I chant, there is a gulf of difference in the consciousness. So chanting with the devotees in the temple room has an immense potency. Say for example, for ladies may go to Prabhupada's room. That is a holy place as well. There is an immense difference in chanting with the devotees. Especially, a lot of devotees are chanting. There is a huge benefit in that. So this is how we can actually make progress in devotional service. Chanting in the morning with the devotees, in essence. So one has to take all opportunity to chant with the devotees. Say suppose somebody is living far away from the temple, one can chant with the family members. Or at least make a point once a week, come to the temple and chant with the devotees. And one can see such a huge difference in consciousness. I have that experience. Who else have that experience? Difference in chanting with the devotees and chanting elsewhere. Maybe one or two devotees may be there still. There is a huge difference. So this is how we can make progress. Now, morning is essential in any case. If you want to make progressive chanting, if you have to make development in chanting, then one has to chant in the morning. One has to come to the point of chanting in the morning. Then, okay, if you want to chant extra rounds, so if one couldn't finish the rounds, one can chant in the evening. One can chant in the evening, of course. There is nothing wrong. But 16 rounds, we had to take it in the morning so that we are giving the priority. So if you do that, month after month, year after year, one can see that there is progress in chanting. It's not that one becomes complacent. Okay, I have made enough progress. No, but one wants more. That's the nature of bhakti. If we get something, we want more in Krishna consciousness. So one can. So this is the stage. One actually, as one start chanting and start hearing about Krishna, what happens? One come to the stage of Varana. Varana means acceptance. Varanadas means It's a stage of internalizing the chanting. It's a stage of internalizing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. So it is not that, okay, form of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, they are interesting. It is nice. Sometimes it is good to think about it. It's not like that. But it becomes part of you. It is Krishna, we accept Krishna as a person and we develop some emotion, some feeling for Krishna. So this is the next stage where naturally one has some feelings for Krishna. So when one is chanting, one has some emotions because one has a bit of attraction for Krishna as a person. So it is not just, you know, Krishna is there, I am just chanting. So it is not just like initially the chanting is just somehow or other I want to just focus on the mantra. It is completely, in one sense, it's mechanical. We are just working hard to focus, just like a work. But from that stage, one has a bit of attraction for Krishna. So it is a bit more natural for us to focus on Krishna. One feels some happiness in chanting. One actually feels, okay, it's so nice to hear Krishna's names. And one starts thinking a little bit about Krishna. So that is the beginning stage. So that is the Varanadas. Because that is not just chanting, it is also according to what we hear. If we hear about Krishna, then only we can actually accept who Krishna is, the personality of Krishna. So initially, the personality of Krishna is far from us. We may be performing the devotion service, we may be doing chanting, we may be doing services, but still the personality of Krishna is distant from us. But in Varana stage, the personality of Krishna becomes reality. He started a personal connection to Krishna. Then, from there, one can actually, so he just said, one is internalizing Krishna, second is gradual development of emotions for Krishna, because you are accepting Krishna as a person. And third, Krishna becomes more of a reality for the heart, that one's attraction for Krishna gradually sprouts. So one attraction for Krishna sprouts. So the progressive chanting is based on progressive attraction for Krishna. And the third stage, I will not go into the complete detail. The third stage is called Smaranavastha, where there is the meditation on Krishna. So one is actually meditating on different aspects of Krishna. So it is applicable when one is hearing the pastimes of Krishna, Leela of Krishna also. It is applicable when one is chanting Krishna's name, because that is the essential nature of Krishna's name. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Tad Uttama Shloka Gunopalambhagam, means the nature of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna's name, is such that one actually starts thinking about Krishna in his personal features. So the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra can give us the remembrance of personal features of Krishna. So that is the Smaranavastha. So this is not, Smaranavastha is not artificially forcing mind to think about Krishna while chanting Hare Krishna mantra. No. Because some devotees, one devotee was telling me, now I had to make progress in devotional service, in chanting, so I want to think about the form of Krishna while I am chanting. No, it's not like that. It's a natural progression of Shravanam and Kirtanam. When one is chanting Krishna's name, one naturally thinks about Krishna. That is natural progress. It's not like one has to force the mind. If one is forcing the mind, then one will not be able to hear the holy name. It becomes one or the other, not both. So that's why one need to be very careful about this Smaranavastha. So here, first stage is interrupted hearing. So recollection. At times, one thinks about Krishna. And Krishna, thoughts about Krishna fades away. And then again, one thinks about Krishna. And it again fades away. And after some time, it becomes steady. Steadily, one is able to think about Krishna. And then, when it also, it is steady and with utmost attention, when it is concentrated, it is called meditation. That is the actual definition of meditation. It is full, with full concentration, and it is uninterrupted. So that is the meditation. Then, further, it can also go to anusmriti. Anusmriti means, it is not just the meditation on Krishna, it's not just while chanting or while chanting Gayatri Mantra, because Brahman initiation is important, because that is the stage in which one can actually practice Smaranam. One can practice meditation on Krishna, because Gayatri Mantra is meant for smarana, for remembrance of Krishna. So from anusmriti means one can think about Krishna, or one naturally start thinking about Krishna generally all the time. And when it actually further progresses, it is called samadhi. So this is, again, these are all different stages within the mind. And after that, there are two more stages, which is acting on the platform of the soul. We will not get into it. But at least we can get a glimpse of it. What is smaranam? That is, what is about thinking of Krishna? So it is a process where one naturally starts thinking about Krishna. So it is a progressive stage, starting from shravanam, starting from hearing, attentive hearing about Krishna's name. Then acceptance, internalizing, and then coming to the stage of remembering, thinking of Krishna. So we need this progressive stages in chanting, because otherwise, how are we developing the taste? Where is the higher taste? Because initially when we are focusing, trying to just focus on Krishna's name, it can be a hard work, it can be a bit boring sometimes. But in varanam and in smaranam, that is reduced. One develops attraction for Krishna. So chanting becomes a wonderful process. One actually likes it. One look forward for that. It's not that I have to do it somehow or other, but one actually look forward for that. And this happens progressively as we develop more and more attraction for Krishna, and there is no limit to it. That's why bhakti process is unlimited. There is no limit to attraction for Krishna. There is no limit to absorption in Krishna. So it's an eternal process, and it's an eternally progressive process. So today we saw bhakti, or rather the practitioner of bhakti in different material modes. And also we saw how we need to have interest in align with that of Krishna's. And then we discussed a little bit about progressive stage of hearing, chanting, and remembrance of Krishna. So I'll see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about charity being the utmost and devotional service also.
Yes.
When we try to present philosophy to students, especially, the question most of them ask is, these activities in terms of like food, like charity, selflessness, why are you bringing God into the picture? Why can't I do these activities separately? And be a good person.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Yeah, the question is, when we especially present to students or any new people, it's a natural question that I want to be a good person and I want to do good activities. Some people say some activities objectively are good. Say, for example, somebody is, you know, fell down on the floor, if you pick him up or her, it is a good activity in itself. So if I perform such good activities, isn't it that enough? Why do you have to bring God into picture? It can look a very natural question. And it can look very sensible. So there is a big flaw in this argument. So this argument is based on of our bodily understanding. It is, the question is based on our bodily conception of our life. Meaning, the questioner, the one who is asking the question, is thinking that he or she is just a body, or at best the mind. So when one thinks, I am the body, I can do something good for others' body. I can do something good for others' mind. I can speak some good few good words. I can do something good for others' body. I can feed them. I can do something. We are not against those activities. But we, according to Krishna conscious philosophy, we do say that that is not enough. It is insufficient. Because we are not just the body or the mind, but we are spirit soul. If we are spiritual, then we have to help anyone in three levels. Body, mind, and the soul. So when it comes to the soul, we don't stop at the stage of the soul. Then the question comes, what is the source of the soul? So if we are seeing the individual consciousness, if we are seeing the individual lives, then there is a source of this individual lives also, the individual consciousness also, that is the supreme consciousness, Krishna. So we don't have separate existence without Krishna. So if we want to really help someone, we need to address the problem in all levels. So on a bodily level, on a mental level, and on a spiritual level. Then we are actually helping someone. We are not saying that other help on a bodily or on a physiological or a psychological level has to be completely thrown away. Rather, the spiritual level has to be incorporated. For that, we need to understand we are not the body or the mind. We are the spirit soul. And we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have connection. The individual consciousness has connection to the supreme consciousness. We have connection to Krishna. So unless and until we understand that point, then we cannot really help anyone. One can give temporary relief. It is possible. But how about the cycle of birth and death? We can give relief for some time. For time, you know, few hours, few days, few months, few decades, or maybe one lifetime. But how about life after life? How can we help someone without that understanding, without that connection? That's why we need to elevate that question from just the bodily or the mental conception to the spiritual conception. Then we can address in all levels. Anyone else? Yes?
When you start chanting, initially devotee, there's a lot of unwanted thoughts and all that, all the nandas.
Yes.
But when you progress in your chanting, then you get somehow get rid of that thoughts and get more focused in chanting. And I've read that the best way to please Krishna is to please his representative. And on that platform, when you think of giving Krishna consciousness to others, sometimes even while in chanting you get that thoughts as well, how you can help others in Krishna consciousness. So what stage of chanting is that, and how even that is, like while chanting you should always concentrate on the mantra. So how do you overcome these thoughts and focus on your chanting? Is that a good thought, a bad thought, or what
so is that? One has to be careful when one is chanting. Okay, as you said, initially when chanting is a lot of anarthas are there, and when there are so unwanted things in the mind, so many things are being thrown out from the mind and we are struggling to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. Later that's right, that subsides and one can hear. Then one can think about Krishna, or one may think about Prabhupada, Krishna's your devotee. It can happen, but at the same time, when you are talking about, okay, you want to give Krishna to others, it's a nice thought, but it has to be coming in a prayerful way. But if one is making a plan, today I'm going to distribute books, today I'm going to give a lecture, today I want to make this point in the lecture, today I want to try this strategy in giving out books. If you are thinking like that, that is a distraction for chanting. Because even thinking about different services while chanting, that is a distraction. It is better than mundane thoughts, but that in itself is a distraction. Rather, one has to focus on the holy name. So if one is coming to a stage, what did Prabhupada say? The mood of chanting, just like a baby crying for the mother. And what is the meaning of chanting, what Prabhupada says? Prabhupada says it is requesting Hare, the energy of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna for kindly engage me in devotional service. That is the mood of chanting. So because when we are chanting, when we are actually thinking about Krishna, when we are actually absorbed in the holy name, if one is thinking about Krishna, one is associating with an all-attractive person. Then the natural thought once come to the mind is, how can I serve? Right? Say for example, if there is a spiritual master, if a guru is there in the temple room, then naturally everyone wants to serve. One person is putting the mat to stand, one person is serving charanamrita, one is washing the water, the third person is giving the towel. Right, there is a queue to do service. Because you know there is a great person and you can see the great person, so everyone wants to serve, render some service to that person. So now, in the same way, chanting means one is associating with Krishna. So when one actually feels, okay, I have this association of Krishna, then the natural thought that comes to the mind is, how can I serve Krishna? So if one is praying for that, that is a very good mood in chanting Krishna's name, because that is not going to obstruct Krishna, vision of Krishna, or hearing his name. It's not going to obstruct any of this. But if one is making plan of preaching, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to, that is going to distract from the holy name. So one needs to be careful how we are taking. That mood is very good. I am totally unqualified, but I want to help people. help me Krishna. That mood is very good in chanting. There's no problem. Because still one is absorbed in the holy name. No problem. But otherwise, it can be a problem. Clear? Thank you. Yes.
Just the question was thinking, what is the problem which can arise from the charity, if we give charity, if we ask, we can say, we're still in cycle of birth and death.
Yes.
Still, whenever we do some activity which is not approved by the Lord and it's not under the direction of the Lord, brings karma, whether it's bad or good. This is one side of, this is the other side of our matter.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, we are by doing this material charity, we are only the instruments of karma. We can't actually help anyone who's not sanctioned by one's own karma. And Prabhupada said, why giving someone fish when you can teach him fishing? So it's better charity. Of course, we don't deny other charity. We still do.
Right.
I'm not against charity to understand. But what's real charity is to help person improve their karma. Because you can't help them. You can't help anyone. You can give them bread, but they can mentally suffer. They can have so many things. They don't have to suffer their karma because...
Yeah.
They are under the mode of material nature. The real charity is to help someone not suffer. Then when we give charity, it's also under the gunas. And I think Prahladananda Swami said, the person in mode of goodness, he thinks he's a savior. So we are thinking we are the doers, but we are not the doers. And then another one I have. Okay, and when we do, it's also in the, how we call this, in there is a saying, the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm.
We don't know what's good for other people. I mean, of course, giving bread or someone who's hungry, but sometimes we get involved something we don't know. That's why it's the best to really always work under the direction of Krishna, because we don't know what is even good. As Prabhupada saying here, he was discussing in the Prabhupada rooms with someone. He says, you don't know what is good.
Mm.
They were just discussing about that thing. What is good? Do you know what is good for others?
Thank you. Any other point? Yes, Madhuri.
Probably you are mentioning the three stages of chanting we discussed.
Yeah.
Starting at Shravana Das.
Yes.
You were saying internalizing and then
yes.
we have to meditate in this particular stage. So when we internalize means we are internalizing the Mahamantra, what's the difference between internalizing and meditation?
Internalizing the Varana, the word Varana means accepting. So accepting means it is not just the Mahamantra in itself, but accepting Krishna as a personality. Krishna is part of our life. Krishna accepted Krishna, Krishna is there. There is no... Initially, Krishna is there. We have read Krishna is there. But there is difference between just accepting, just hearing and just actually accepting. So it is about accepting the personality of Krishna internally. So Krishna becomes part of our life. So as his name, so as his qualities, so as his pastimes. So we do accept. We may not know everything, but we do accept. Okay, it's there. And it's the reality. So it is meaning we are not just externally chanting, rather internally there is an effect. Because if we accept something, then there is an effect to us, right? We can say any word with understanding the meaning or understanding the purport behind that and with thought. So this is understanding, okay, there is Krishna and there is some attraction, there is a sprouting of some attraction for Krishna. So since there is some attraction for Krishna, it is not just hearing, but there is some feeling. When we really accept Krishna, there is some feeling when we hear about Krishna. It is applicable when we hear the pastimes of Krishna or when we hear the names of Krishna. Whereas in Smaranam, that goes, it deepens. It deepens means when one is chanting, one can actually, naturally one thinks about Krishna. It's not a separate activity, it's not a separate endeavor thinking about Krishna. So that's why I mentioned we don't just try to artificially now I had to think about Krishna. It will not happen. Say, for example, initially, it is practically impossible to conceive how can one think about Krishna. You know, chanting and hearing in itself is a big thing. But when one gets purified a little bit, then one is, this becomes natural. So it is a progressive stage. Make sense? Yeah.
In the mode of passion, mode of ignorance, the devotion, what is the destiny of those people? What will happen? The devotion is useless or it has got its own effect?
Oh, in the...
Yeah.
In the passion.
Yeah.
Actually, Vishwanathachakra Thakur mentions a very interesting point on this. That is, if somebody is in the mode, if one is performing the devotional service in the mode of passion or ignorance, generally benefit can be, general benefit can be material, can get a lot of material benefit. However, by association, one can progress. So this is mode of passion here means one is strongly desiring material opulence, or so there are different degrees. Say, for example, we can say, let's take it as karma. Okay, so karma yoga. In this karma yoga, what we are going to discuss is if karma is predominant. Okay, if karma is predominant. In other words, karma is predominant means the desire for fruity things, as mentioned in this verse. If that is predominant, and bhakti is very insignificant, this is very high, and bhakti in itself is very significant, then bhakti becomes an anga. Bhakti becomes a limb of that karma, sakama karma, you know, sakama karma yoga. It becomes just a limb. It is a karma kanda kind of thing, and bhakti becomes only a limb. So this is one possibility. Okay, so then one gets only material benefit. Bhakti is helping to give you material benefit, because even to do karma kanda, there has to be some element of bhakti. Some Lord has to be acknowledged. So it can go to that extreme. That's not recommended at all, because the whole process is, you know, not, this is not really about devotional service. So now, coming to the devotional service, if it is mixed with passion and ignorance, the recommendation is one continue. Then Vishwanathachakra Thakur quotes the verse from the sixth canto: Satyam dishati arthidam arthidoyatha naivarthidoyat punarathidoyatha swayam vidhate bhajatam anichchadam icchabhidhanam nijapada pallavam. So it is mentioned, okay, if you approach Krishna, even if you are with all these material desires, at least if you are approaching Krishna, there is one good thing. Because if one is a sincere devotee, if one is actually sincerely trying to follow sadhana bhakti, then even if you go to Krishna with material desire, he may fulfill the material desire in such a way that you will not ask for that again. And he forcefully gives himself to that devotee. Okay, you don't want me, you want the material desire. Okay, I will fulfill your material desire. But after getting the material desire, then devotees start thinking, you know, oh, Krishna gave me that, but what's the use of it? That is the realization of a devotee. Everyone has that in our devotional career. When we came to Krishna consciousness, we may have such and such material desire. I want it, okay, I will chant, I want this, I want the other thing. Krishna may have fulfilled such material desires, but he also gives the realization that it is useless. Why he gives? Icchabhidhanam nijapada pallavam. He gives his lotus feet. He said, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the further explanation is given, that Krishna thinks he's a fool, he's asking for poison. This material thing is poison. And he's a fool, he's asking me for poison. But I am the Supreme Lord and I am all-knowing, so I know what is nectar and what is poison. So, instead of giving him poison again, I'll give him nectar. I'll give him the ambrosial nectar of my lotus feet. So Krishna says, okay, you may come to devotional service for so many ulterior motives as it is mentioned here, but if one continues and one is sincere, okay, Krishna will remove that material desire and he gives himself to that devotee. So we have some hope. Hare Krishna. I think time is up. Okay, one quick question. Yes, Prabhu.
What's the advantage from doing 16 rounds and 64? What was the big gain?
Okay. Okay, the question is, what is the advantage of chanting 16 rounds or 64 rounds? Now, what's the difference? Obviously, we can see a difference in number. So now, if we ask, do we have to chant 16 rounds or 64 rounds or 32 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if you ask such question, the real recommendation is Kirtaniya Sadahari, meaning we are meant to chant always, 24 hours. So the real recommendation is one need to engage in Krishna service, in chanting, glorifying all the time. So where the 64 rounds come from? So Mahaprabhu, in his pastime, he says, I will go and eat only at the house of a devotee who is a lakhpati, who is a millionaire. A lakhpati. So he used to say that. What does that mean? He has to be a rich man. So he used to say that if somebody is chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so that is a big number, right? So that is how many thousands? Anyone knows? Off the head? Okay. It's okay. It's a few, you know. So if one chants 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, okay, then he is a rich person, so I will eat in his house. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, devotees used to chant 64 rounds. Means practically it takes 8 hours of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also recommended chanting 16 rounds for devotees who has to do service and who has to do preaching, because he has to help others. For them it was recommended chant 2 hours of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, not 8 hours, 2 hours is enough. Then when it came to Srila Prabhupada, we know the pastime where Prabhupada first asked the devotee, which devotee was that? Anyone remember? Was it Haigriva Prabhu? Anyone remembers? No? Okay. Anyway, asked 64 rounds. Then devotee said, it's not possible, 64 rounds is not possible, impossible. 8 hours sitting at one place and chanting, impossible. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then a concession, 32 rounds. Then also devotee said, that is impossible. 32 rounds means at least 4 hours of chitti sitting and chanting. Then Srila Prabhupada said, 16 rounds, no less. So you're not going to reduce any further. So the recommended dosage is 16 rounds, minimum, because we are covered with so many material desires, we are covered with so many material things around the world. So at least 2 hours of absorption in Krishna, that is recommended. We have 24 hours, of which 2 hours for Krishna exclusively. So that is chanting. And one can expand on that. That is the beginning. So this is a minimum dosage. That's just like a physician would give a minimum dosage. At least you need this to survive, to get cure from the disease. In the same way, Prabhupada has given this 16 rounds. So that is a minimum requirement. And if you do day after day, one can see the difference. For sure, one can see how the material desires are going to subdue and how the spiritual desires are coming to the forefront. One can experience that. It's an experiment. Anyone can participate and check it out. No problem. Is that clear?
So one transcends quicker than 64?
Yes, 64 is good, but one has to do it. That's where the problem is. The thing is, most of the people are, you know, it's difficult for one to do so much of chanting. And we need to, and another thing is, our movement is not about personal chanting and personal development. It is also about helping others. So if we are all chanting 64 rounds, then who is going to help others? We'll all be sitting in the temple and chanting. 8 hours of chanting at least. So it's like a day, you know, finish the morning program, then another 6 or 7 hours chanting, then evening other things, and you know, go and sleep. So who is going to do all the services? Who is going to help others? So our movement is about helping others. So the recommended is 16. But if you have extra time, one can chant more. And occasionally one can sit and chant 64 rounds, it is good. So it is not necessary that by just chanting 64 rounds, one will make rapid advancement. Not guaranteed. It's not just the quantity, quality is also important. So we need the minimum dosage, which is the quantity, and then we need the quality also. So once we have the minimum dosage, then don't worry about the quantity so much. Now work on the quality. So we discuss the quality, how we can progress in our chanting. So we need to work on the quality. So if we are getting to the quality, then we can think about quantity if we have to increase. Make sense? Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.